Chell Anderson is a North Shore naturalist. She lives here in Cook County and joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Chell.
Hey, hi.
Well, here it is, midsummer. Talk about what's blooming, and there is a lot of it.
Oh, my gosh. It's, yeah, we're having a terrific year for blooms. And we've talked before about the timing is a little odd, but that doesn't mean we can't enjoy them, you know, just as much. And I certainly have been. So, you know, probably the thing that's still going on, it's been going on for a while, still going on, is just the roadside show. I mean, there's been the hawkweeds and the daisies and soon there'll be the fireweed, and it's really quite amazing how much color there can be along the roadsides. In the woods and along the lakes and streams, a very showy, I would say, summer. They aren't all this showy. There's still a few wild roses, and they had a great run this year. There's pink and white pyrolas or pyrolas. People pronounce that both ways. They're out in great abundance. The coral root orchids, the spotted and the striped coral root orchids, are out. There's still a few lingering lady slippers out there, moccasin flowers out there. If you're really into orchids and pay attention to the teeny tiny ones, the heartleaf tway blades are still, there's still some of them around in the black spruce swamps and things. The cow parsnip or wild celery has been going strong, another good run for them. We're pretty much past the bluebells, but they were made a great show this year. We're also into yellow and white water lilies out on the lakes and ponds. And, you know, in the lakes and ponds, using those lily pads, as we've talked about before, for hideouts and so on, the mink frogs started calling this year weeks ahead of any previous record I have for our ponds on the flute reed. Really unusual, and not accompanied, as they usually are right away, by the green frogs. So the green frogs are on their own little schedule. So that's unfolding in a really interesting way. Most of the shrubs are already done and have their berries or seeds set. That's kind of petering out much sooner than it often does. There'll be Joe Pye weed along with fireweed coming along pretty quick. You can be looking for the first goldenrods and asters too, even before the goldenrods. So there's still a lot to come, but boy, it's going by kind of in a blur, and so much overlap of things that, you know, we don't always see overlap.
That was one of the things I noticed earlier toward the end of June. The asters, I mean, the leaves all along the roadsides, the leaves were already huge.
Yeah.
And thimbleberries were in bloom, mm-hmm. also with large leaves. And yeah. That seemed unusual, so it doesn't mm-hmm. seem like so strange that they'd be peaking mm-hmm. or getting close to it mm-hmm. right now. Also, I think what makes a difference in our perception of high summer is if we don't have enough moisture, then everything mm-hmm. starts. The green changes. It has a thin film of dust mm-hmm. on it. You know? And
right,
it's not as attractive.
Yeah.
But it will be interesting to see what continues to bloom or for how long. Maybe if this is a head start
yeah.
or whether conditions as we get into what I consider a really hot month, mm-hmm. August,
mm-hmm.
whether these things just dissipate.
Yeah, how long things are able to hang on, you know, that come out. You know, a lot will depend on the very temporary, immediate weather. And a lot of our later blooming plants, their flowers and shapes of their inflorescences, size of their flowers, make them a little bit more resilient to weather, because they're not trying to hold up great big petals or large blooms that can easily be damaged by heavy rainfall or so. Yeah, it's always fascinating to watch, but this year, because it's just been such a strange year from the beginning, I'm definitely going to be paying close attention. I think one thing I believe is that for my work, I'm often looking for aquatic plants that don't necessarily come up to the surface, so they're growing on the bottom of the lake or stream, and also there are those that rely on at least some drawdown at the end of the year. So they grow close to that sort of typical water level of the lake, and then they do all their reproducing, their flowering, so when the lake is a little lower than average and they get exposed and they're out of the water temporarily. And so I'm thinking that for those species, this isn't going to be a great year for producing fruit and seed, just because it would be kind of surprising if we lost a lot of our lake levels with
well,
the
of course,
remaining
that's,
year.
We still got plenty of summer weather coming, mm-hmm. and I know that at the beginning of spring, mm-hmm. The National Weather Service was predicting a somewhat cooler, drier summer. Well, mm-hmm. that went south in a big hurry, and it remains to be seen how much moisture we're actually going to continue to get. So maybe if we continue to get rain, because we're long since out of the drought, mm-hmm. Maybe those plants you're talking about, and I'm assuming like when you're canoeing mm-hmm. in the Boundary Waters, and these are these relatively small leafed plants that kind of spread out, not what I call a mass, mm-hmm. because there's, you know, but and they just hover right below the surface.
Yeah, some actually grow up in the water column and are just kind of right below the surface or at the surface. Others don't ever come close to the surface of the water. They are very small and they grow right down and stay pretty close to the bottom. And so if they're near the surface, it's only because they grow in such shallow water that their 4-inch height is not much below
now,
the surface.
Now, do they serve as hosts for small aquatic organisms?
Oh, sure. If you look at them closely, if you collect some and look at them closely, oh yeah, lots, there'll be things that have put their little egg cases on those leaves, or that have actually, there's been some kind of chewing on the leaves, or maybe something's laid their eggs in the stem of the plant. So the whole aquatic plant system it's another world, really, you know, and there's so much that goes on there that it's real difficult for us to observe directly, but you definitely can see the evidence of it.
It's kind of like an underwater forest in a sense.
Oh, it is. Yeah. If a person is of the bent to spend time in the water and you just have a mask, you don't even need a snorkel, but mm-hmm. if, you know, a snorkel is good. But there is one of my favorite things is we have so many beautiful clear water lakes in our wonderful home place. And boy, to go in the summer and do some snorkeling in those clear waters and look at this beautiful scene of, call it a forest, jungle, you know, in some places, but it's an amazingly beautiful place.
Jill Anderson, botanist and plant ecologist, thanks for helping us understand summer blooming and also some other things that we don't exactly call blooming because they're underwater.
Sure.